As we get back to basics this year, that's our theme for the year, we're first of all looking upwards to God, getting closer to Him, getting closer to God our Maker, God our Saviour, and God the Spirit who guides us every day. Last week we looked at what it means when we ask Jesus into our lives to be a child of God, loved, forgiven, and blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. What it means to live no longer controlled by our own human nature, but to be living by the Spirit as children of God. Now today we're going to begin to look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is set out in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's perhaps worth noting that there's only one fruit. It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. So it's all one package. We can't just pick the bits that suit us. These are all things which our Spirit-led lives should have. And in case you're wondering, I didn't say to John, I'll have patience. I'm such a patient person. And I don't think that he said, patience? We'll give that one to Ruth. Preaching plan doesn't really allow for picking and choosing. Names are just fitted in and we take what's there. The truth is that if we're all to show the fruit of the Spirit with all its different elements, we're all going to be needed to be guided by God. I mentioned to the children the vine. We need to be close to God if we're to have these attributes and show them in our lives. So to find out how to be patient people, we need to look at God's patience. And David Morgan is going to read for us.
First reading is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 15, which is page 1224 in the Pew Bibles. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. The second reading is from the book of James in chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, and is found on page 1216 in the Pew Bibles. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. the judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
Lord, we ask your blessing on our meditation on your word. Amen. Both the readings today focus on the second coming of Christ and the coming of the kingdom across earth and heaven. Of course, the early apostles were sure that this would happen in their lifetimes or very soon afterwards. But here we are, 2,000 years later, and still waiting. And that in itself makes their words as relevant to us now as it was to the disciples then. We too have plenty of people around to grumble to and grumble about. We too have suffering all around us, where healing and relief don't seem to be forthcoming. Increasingly, we too have persecution. We too know that Jesus will come again. Everyone will know his kingdom. But when that will be is a great unknown. And the very reason for this delay is that God is a patient God, infinitely patient with his sinful people since the time of Adam and Eve, always wanting his people to repent and turn to him because he loves them. God loves his people enough to send Jesus to die for them on the cross. He wants them all to know salvation. Peter focuses on God's patience and on the fact that God is looking at the big picture, the whole of time, whereas we are in just a tiny wee bit of this big picture. We may feel impatient that God is taking his time answering prayer or intervening in problem situations. But we have to remember that his time scale is different to ours. I was sharing with my house group a couple of weeks ago my despair at the state of Syria, and in particular the towns being besieged by both the government forces and the rebels. How can anyone deliberately allow people to starve to death? And my gloom was compounded by having watched a television program about Shostakovich writing his Seventh Symphony against the background of the siege of Leningrad in the Second World War. Exactly the same. People being systematically starved to death, only then it was over a period of years. It would be easy to slip into thinking that God can't possibly care or that he doesn't want things to change. But you'd be pleased to know that in my house group, we decided to do something constructive and to pray together about it and not resort to anger or despair. Patience can sometimes be seen as an attribute of the meek and mild. But in the Bible, patience isn't totally passive. But yes, it is enduring suffering or difficulty with restraint. And yes, it is reacting to provocation in a way that doesn't hurt. And because these are not natural reactions from human beings, patience has to be something which comes from God. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit the Spirit that he pours out on all of us, his children. There are three elements to this patience that I'd like to highlight. One is seeing waiting in a positive light, using waiting as an opportunity. A bit like people waiting in a bus queue who take the opportunity to have a chat with those around them, and everybody's much more happy and contented. And David Hill will tell you that amazing things can happen from bus queue conversations. James's example of patient waiting is an expectant waiting. The farmer plants his seed, but has to be patient waiting for the rains to come. But there's something to look forward to. And in the meantime, he can tend his fields. Knowing that God's kingdom is to come eventually can inspire us to work for it. Knowing that it could be tomorrow can inspire us to do something about improving the way that we live so that our lives are more acceptable to God, who will judge us all. We look forward to the new heaven and the new earth that'll come one day, but in the meantime, we have this God-given time to look after our spiritual well-being. And part of that's simply giving this time back to God and trusting our hearts and lives to him, into his care. What Isaiah calls waiting on the Lord, which our Bible translates as hoping in the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We sang it at the beginning of the service. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Yet how difficult we find it just to wait, to simply spend time with God. The second element to the patience God wants us to have is holding on to our faith when God seems far away. Perhaps what the farmer would need to do if his fields were flooded, as so many have been flooded recently here. The dictionary says that patience is calm endurance of pain, trouble, or inconvenience. And what gives us the strength to endure suffering is our trust in God and his power and his love. In that passage we read from James, he quotes the prophets and Job, the Old Testament prophets, and John the Baptist in the New Testament were fearless in sticking to their task of getting over God's message of repentance. Despite all sorts of persecution, all sorts of setbacks. And Job, well, Job's one of my favorite books of the Bible. People talk about the patience of Job, but he certainly wasn't passively patient. Job complains to God for chapters on end about the way he's being treated. He's struggling to understand why God is treating him this way. He wants answers, and they're not forthcoming. God is silent for a very long time. But through it all, Job doesn't lose his faith in God. It's from Job that we hear, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And Job is vindicated in the end and has a good life. But not before God has thundered to him at length about who exactly he's challenging. If you feel that God has forgotten you, and your faith's in tatters, just hold on to those tatters very tightly and persevere. Because the living God is your Redeemer too. He is full of compassion and mercy. The story the children are looking at today is Martha and Mary having to be patient, waiting for Jesus to come when their brother Lazarus was very ill. Jesus didn't come until after Lazarus had died. And both Martha and Mary said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But Martha added, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you wish." Faith which was vindicated when Lazarus was brought back to life. And the third element of patience that I'd like to highlight is being loving in the face of provocation or opposition. Not losing your temper with somebody who's holding you up or not agreeing with you or being downright obstructive. How easy it is to get irritated and come out with something which you then immediately regret. Or do a quick reply on email or Facebook to an annoying message and the send is pressed before you've really thought about it. James knew all about the dangers of the tongue. If you read chapter 3 of his letter, one of the things he says is the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It's all too easy just to come out with something in irritation. If you read through the Gospels, you'll see just how patient Jesus was with his disciples, who were not always very quick on the uptake, and sometimes just difficult. And occasionally he asked them, "Do you still not understand?" But that didn't stop him patiently explaining the meaning of parables or going over the same ground several times. He was amazingly patient with James and John when they were asking about favored places in his kingdom. And look how good he was with all the disciples who'd left him on the way to his crucifixion, and particularly with Peter, who denied him despite saying that he never would. Patience is not something which is easy. Our human nature takes us in a totally different direction. We're naturally impatient. We find waiting tiresome, unproductive. We live in an age of instant gratification. People must have everything now, no matter if it means going into debt. Telephone calls must be instantly dealt with. Texts must be read, no matter what else is going on. Waiting is not popular. Waiting patiently is even less so. And we can fall into despair and lose our faith. How many people have you heard say that they can't believe in a God that lets this happen or allows this suffering? Not realizing or not ready to accept that it's God who can lift them out of the despair. And we tell others just what we think when they're in some way upsetting us, regardless of how hurtful it can be. We get angry. And some of the reality shows on TV are really good examples of how people can be hurt by what's said. I think I've said before that I'm not keen on Alan Sugar's way of treating people, but millions are. Isn't this just what the Bible says in that passage that John read last week? If we live lives led by our human nature, then that will include being impatient. But we are children of God. That is not how we're to live now. That passage reminded us that now we're led not by our nature, but by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit includes patience. And with that, we use waiting as an opportunity. And we hold on to our faith when God seems far away. And we continue to be loving, even when we're provoked. Yesterday at the conference, Malcolm was talking about Christians being countercultural and asking whether we should be more visibly so as a church. If we are truly patient people, we will stand out in an impatient world. I don't suppose that this congregation is going to become a body of patient people overnight. We really would be a truly amazing church if that happened. If there were no grumbles about things not being done quickly or being done in the wrong way, nobody getting steamed up about anything, nobody struggling with their faith in difficult times, nobody getting upset by somebody else's words. But we're in the time when we're waiting for Jesus to come again in glory, when we are waiting for his kingdom to be everywhere. What kind of people ought we to be? That's what Peter asks us in that reading. What kind of people ought we to be? This is a time of opportunity, a time to change our ways, to get back to basics, to become the sort of people that God wants us to be, the sort of people whose behavior stands out and shines a light in the world. Let's pray. Loving Lord, we want to follow you, to live the lives you want us to live as children of God. And that includes being patient, however hard that might be sometimes, and however alien it might seem in society today. Lord, help us with your Spirit living in us to develop that patient nature which you want us to have. A nature which speaks of you to the world around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.